Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today we're going to be talking with an expert about a topic that is of concern for all nurses, and that is personal safety. Whether you are working clinically, whether you are walking into an attorney's parking lot, whether you are walking through a parking lot in a shopping center, there are so many ways that you could end up becoming a victim of an attack. And I brought Kate on the show because she is a personal protection advocate and she is a certified professional in this field. And because it's of interest to all of us, I think that you'll find that her tips and techniques that she shares with us today are going to be very helpful to you. Thanks. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I have to say that before I met you, I had never heard of a personal protection advocate. Can you tell me about that field and what caused you to become interested in that specific area?
So as a mom of four daughters, I raised them to be strong, independent women, and I was always searching for a way to kind of empower them. They didn't have interest in martial arts. There weren't available self-defense classes near us. And I always wanted to just find some ways to know that they could stand up for themselves, even in the face of danger. So when I finally found resources for that, I realized how hard it had been for me to find that to equip my daughters with. And I just wanted to make it more available. And so I've really dived into it with both feet, and it's been delightful.
What has been delightful about it, Kate?
The satisfaction that I see in my clients when they embrace self-protection and they get a plan for protecting themselves and their loved ones, they gain a sense of peace that they didn't even know that they were missing. And you also see them kind of gain confidence because now they know what they would do if something bad came their way. You know, it doesn't mean we can always save ourselves from something bad, but knowing that we have a way to fight back, and that internal thing of knowing that our life is worth a fight, it really is just very empowering.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about a book that my father showed me when I think I was about 10 or 12. And he showed me these illustrations of a woman kicking a man in the groin. And I looked at him horrified and said, I could never do that. And he said, you would do it if it would save your life. And I've never had to use that technique, but I remember the shock that I felt of, first of all, somebody could attack me, and then to inflict that much pain. Is that one of the factors that we run into as women, that we think if we don't fight back, it'll be, let's say it's a sexual assault, it'll be over sooner and then we can get away? I mean, yeah. What's the thought?
Absolutely. That is kind of a mindset, at least in our culture, and that we'll be treated better by our assailant if we don't fight back, if we're nice to them, or at least, you know, non-confrontational. But the studies show that that's not true. It doesn't necessarily go better for you if you don't fight back. The criminals, predators are not playing by the same rules and values that we are. And we need to stop assigning them the same values that we have, because they simply, that's not their worldview. So choosing to fight back is a choice. It's a very personal choice. And I certainly don't, you know, condemn anybody that would choose not to fight back. But if you feel like fighting back is something you would want to do, because there's a much better chance of getting away, then, you know, let's equip you to do that.
If we wanted to fight back, and I shouldn't start the sentence with if, when we want to fight back, should this ever happen to us, what does that mean in terms of fighting back?
Well, there's a lot of different components that go into it. I mean, the very first place to start with fighting back is just being aware of what's going on around you, spotting danger before it spots you. I mean, that's a way of fighting back right there, that other than training our brain to think a little bit differently, it really doesn't take anything from us. It's just a matter of creating a new habit of being aware, thinking through, you know, what's going on around me. Is there anything that seems a little off or weird? Is there a person who's out of place? And then with that is also trusting our intuition, because a lot of times as women, we don't trust our intuition. We tell ourselves we're paranoid or making things up. There's a lot of like self-talk that goes on, and we just discount our intuition for the most part. But if we can start listening to our intuition and giving our intuition like a chance to tell us what's going on, you know, we might be wrong. It's not like our intuition is 100% right, but so often we do catch something that is just a little odd, something that's a little bit off that could be a concern. And so allowing your intuition to show you that, that's like right there, you're fighting back because you're saving yourself from that danger before it gets to you. You can remove yourself from the situation. You can make sure you have, you know, your pepper spray in your hand, whatever it is, your way to fight back. If you don't know the world's dangerous, if you're not accepting of that, if you're not looking for that, and I don't mean paranoid going around looking for danger all the time, but just an awareness, an overall awareness. And it actually gives us more confidence when we realize it's okay to look around and see what's going on around you. You know, I tell women, if somebody is kind of like creeping you out, giving you like the willies, like you just feel bad about somebody, maybe they're staring at you or following you, a lot of us will just kind of hurry to where we're going, probably look down and like kind of try to zone out of whatever's making us feel uncomfortable. But rather, if we keep standing up tall and showing confidence on the outside and look them in the eye, let them know, I see you, I can identify you. Don't give in to any of that fear on the outside. I recognize we all, you know, in bad situations, we're going to have fear on that inside, but we want to put on a countenance of confidence and assurance, and that we will fight for our life.
There was a friend of mine who was helping me exhibit at an attorney conference who was walking in Chicago, and it was after dark. There were a lot of people on the street, but she noticed that there was a man following her. And he kept behind her as she walked up the sidewalk. It was on the street that's called Miracle Mile in the downtown Chicago area. And she got so uncomfortable to the point that she went into a store and she just stayed there a long time. And he gave up and left that area of the store, or left that area of the sidewalk.
Yeah. And that's an excellent choice. You know, everything I teach is about getting away, giving yourself time to get away. I'm not teaching you how to stay and overcome somebody who's bigger and stronger and, you know, maybe on drugs, who knows, you know, but it's about having that time to get away. So your friend chose a good way of getting away by going somewhere where there are other people. Of course, the problem with that is that sadly, there are predators that would just hide and wait for a long time. And so, you know, if she could call somebody to walk her to her car from there, or, you know, something just to add an extra layer of protection to make sure she does get to safely where she's going. But mm-hmm. Yeah, getting around other people is one of the best things that we can do.
And I shared with you when we were preparing for this podcast that I had an experience in an urban city after testifying in court and having a check for several thousand dollars in my purse, feeling as I walked past a building, there was a man leaning against the building. And as I walked past him, he stood up and started following me. And I did not do what you and I discussed in terms of having people around me. I was heading to the parking lot and I chose a shortcut, which was through a tunnel, which went off at a diagonal from the street into the parking lot, which was a perfect opportunity for him to continue to follow me. But part of my brain, Kate, was saying, this isn't happening. He's just walking in the same direction that I am. It's just a coincidence. And another part of my brain was thinking, I'm carrying binders. Should I throw the binders down? I'm wearing a cape. Could he grab my cape? I don't want to turn around and look at him to acknowledge him. And at the end of the tunnel, which seemed like it was miles long, it was probably a few hundred feet, there were two utility workers who were tossing a football back and forth between them. And as soon as he saw the utility workers, he made a U-turn and left me alone, which then confirmed my suspicion that indeed it wasn't just a coincidence. Right. Can you give anyone listening guidance on what I should have done in that situation rather than the path that I chose? Because I think I got rescued just by chance.
It certainly does sound like it. Yeah. So the first thing there was that you weren't really listening to your intuition. You were discounting yourself. You know, it's just a coincidence, which it could be, but it doesn't hurt us to look at it as not a coincidence. That intuition telling you is just like a little fear warning that I believe is God-given. It's just, it's embedded in each of us, but we knock it out. So that listening to that. And then of course, we don't want to go somewhere like, you know, dark parking lots, tunnels, any time of day, you know, these sort of places. If you have to go in them, you want to have some self-protection with you, like a pepper spray, a stun device, a personal alarm, anything, you know. But better is to be with another person, of course. And that really raises our safety a lot. And then there's also verbal self-defense. If those men had not been there throwing the football and this man had come towards you, we do have our voice. If we maintain like that confident status, if, you know, you make yourself kind of big, put your hands on your hip and yell back off, you know, and just really like gave some physical signals and some big voice signals, sometimes that will kind of disconcert them because they don't want women that are ready to fight back. They want timid. Those are the prime targets for a predator. So by choosing to like use your voice if you don't have anything else, which that can be hard because we can lose our voices when we are like in extreme danger, but just keep that in the back of your mind that I always have my voice. I can use my voice. I can stand tall. I can be authoritative.
I was at a conference probably about 2.5 years ago, and the conference leader stood outside the entries to this hotel to talk to her father on the phone. And she was holding her laptop, and she had her laptop open and she was talking to her father. And a car pulled up right in front of the doorway of the hotel where she was standing and had four people in it. And she didn't pay them any attention. So the back seat opened. Backseat door opened, and a guy came out wearing a baseball cap, a gold chain, a t-shirt, and he grabbed her laptop. And she was so shocked, she dropped it, she picked it up, and he grabbed it from her and got it. And she was so angry with him, she started screaming and calling him various colorful names. And she grabbed his baseball cap and she broke his chain, got his chain off of his neck. And he got back in the car with her laptop and they took off.
Wow.
The car was positioned in a way that the security cameras had this black hole where they couldn't see the car. Mm-hmm. And as the car drove off, they couldn't detect the license plate. The security people said, "You idiot," nicer than that. "You don't fight back. That was very dangerous what you did." And she was fueled with adrenaline. She was livid because it was a new laptop she'd only had for a week. She needed that for the presentation for her coaching clients.
Right.
She came back in, and this is something that I didn't realize, Kate. She called a number. It was a Mac. She called an Apple number. Somebody in the room did it for her while she was shaking. And within 7 minutes, they had that laptop locked down so that it wouldn't be accessible to the people who took it away from her. And they tracked the laptop for 24 hours that no one was able to ever open up that laptop again.
Wow. I love that. I love that security feature in a Mac. It's and I believe it's in our iPhones also. But that's something like that we really should talk about more. It was really good that somebody reminded her of that, or she knew that, because again, in those situations when you're shaking with adrenaline and fear and all of that, it's very hard to think clearly. So mm-hmm. that's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I kind of agree with security that she was putting herself in danger for a thing, but again, it was an important thing to her and it's a personal choice. It's like purse snatching. You know, is our purse worth fighting for, possibly getting hurt over? That's personal, you know, but we have the right to fight back. We have that right. And I think we kind of feel like we actually don't. And we're going to be told we're stupid if we do. Again, it's personal and you have to make it for yourself. You know, you could end up making the matter, but really purse snatchers aren't generally rapists or kidnappers, you know? So, but they could be. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, "Hey, look, I've got his baseball cap. There's DNA on his baseball cap. You can identify him." Yeah. And the police said, "Excuse me, for a $2,000 laptop, we're not going to put that baseball cap through our DNA lab. Sorry, honey." You know, they were not interested at all.
Right. Right. Which is a shame.
Yes. Yes.
For sure.
Well, we've talked about intuition. We've talked about being aware of what's going on around you, of listening to cues, like the cues of the man leaning against the building who then starts following me. And we've talked about using your voice. You've also mentioned, as we've been having our discussion, about pepper spray and stun guns and alarms. Tell us, what's the difference between those three? What are those devices?
Do you mind if I grab my tools so I can actually show you?
Oh, yeah, please do.
I should have had them with me. Just one sec.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see these tools shortly. If you're listening to this podcast on our audio platforms, be sure to go to the Legal Nurse Business YouTube channel where you can see Kate and her tools in person. Or in person virtually.
Right. Okay, so this is my personal protection. I have this on a keychain that I always keep in the same spot on my handbag. You can tuck it inside or outside, but it's always going to the same spot. You can see right here, this is what sticks onto the keychain part of my purse. It's a breakaway keychain, it's called. Whenever I'm walking out and about, I take this off and then I have my tools with me, which are pepper spray, a Cubaton, and a stun device. Depending on the situation, I choose my personal protection I just want to carry, and I just carry it casually. It's not a big deal. I'll have it down by my side. Most people have no idea what you're holding there, and they don't care. So pepper sprays are awesome. They, the ones that I sell go 16 feet, so you don't have to wait for somebody to be on top of you, and most people are going to recognize it. So, you know, you would hold it out, and you would warn them, this is a pepper spray and I will spray you if you come any closer, if you have time to say that, you know. And with pepper sprays, you want to point in a Z pattern so that you're going eyes, nose, and mouth. That's what you're pointing for when you spray them. Now, if you're not a great shot, it's okay. As long as they breathe a little bit in, they are going to be in a world of hurt and they will give you plenty of time to get away. Don't use a pepper spray on a windy day. It could come back at you. Mm. You know, so be thoughtful in your choices. But pepper sprays are an excellent choice for sure. Then my favorite one is actually the stun device. This is this one we call the little ringer. Nice feature about it is that it also has a flashlight. which I thoroughly recommend carrying this at night when you're going anywhere dark. And before you get in your car, as you approach it, just sweep the flashlight underneath your car. Predators are known to hide under our cars, maybe grab us by our ankles, that sort of thing. So just do a quick sweep as you're approaching it. And then when you get up to your car, look in the back seat and check if anybody's there or not. So whether or not you have a stun device, but just a flashlight, go put a small flashlight in your handbag right now. And then the other thing you can do with a flashlight is it can be a force multiplier. So it's just something hard that you can strike with, which for most of us, unless we're like trained in martial arts, somebody bigger and stronger than me is going to kind of laugh when I try to hit him with my fists. But when I hit him with something harder, I become a little more threatening. And that brings me to this one, which is a coup baton. And that is exactly what this for is for. It's a force multiplier, has the finger notches, and you would just strike. And when you're striking, whether like if you don't have a tool with you, you still have your fingers. So if you have a force multiplier, great. If you don't, you have your hands, and you want to go for the soft spots. So it's like eyes and that soft spot in our throat. Even like twisting ears, you know, there's a lot of things we can do. Hands, if somebody grabs you from behind, and you can even bend one finger backwards, they're going to let go. That's extremely painful. So thinking through those little things that we can do is really, it's helpful, because then in that time of crisis, you may be able to use one of them. Now the stun device is, it's a great device because the sound itself is a deterrent. I'm going to make the sound. And that is a sound that criminals don't want to hear. A lot of them don't know, is it a stun device or a taser, whatever. I'm not going to deal with it. I don't want it. Stun devices are for actually making them go down. It's personal contact. I mean, you have to have it against their body. So it's a great one for up close attack. So if somebody grabbed me from behind and I had this in my hand, I could possibly reach their shoulder, maybe their face, good chance I can get their thigh. And it really doesn't matter where you do the stun device against them, hold it, the stun for 3 to 6 seconds, they will go down and you will have plenty of time to get away. And that's what it's all about. You stun and you run and you want to get away. That's the point. Go get help, go get safe. So wow. I carry all three of them. It's layered protection because different places I want different protection. And also, you know, if something gets taken away from me, maybe I still have my pepper spray, you know, something like that. So it's just great to have them as a tool that you can use. You just make a habit of carrying them with you, having one in your hand. If you don't know where it is, it's not going to help you at all.
That Cubitron, can you hold that up again?
Sure.
That looks like that could do a lot of damage. I'm thinking about the anatomy. If you hit somebody in the neck or in the eye, you could probably remove the eye.
Yeah.
Potentially even kill somebody if you hit them in the right spot in the neck. You could pierce the trachea or maybe one of the carotid arteries or veins.
That's true. Potentially you could. You know, that would be, I was going to say getting lucky. That's not what I mean, but you know what I mean? That would
lucky for you, not so lucky for the
person. It certainly could happen. Another great thing about coup batons is that they're really inexpensive. They come with the ring to go right on your keychain. They're like 12, some are 12, some are $15. They're not, you know, you don't have to invest a lot. And this is a good place to start for people that sometimes pepper sprays and stun devices can be a little intimidating. They're not once you get used to them, but you know, a coup baton is a great place to start if these make you feel like, I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there is the risk they could be turned around and used against you as well.
That's true. The nice thing about the tools that I sell is like, so the stun device, I'm putting my, it has a key in the bottom of it, and I'm putting my wrist through the, I can't think of what that's called, like the wristlet that is attached to that key. If somebody was to take it away from me, it's no longer going to work. So it can't be used against me. The same thing is true for our protective pepper spray. It also has a key that you keep around your wrist. And if it gets taken away from you, it can't be used against you. So those are great precautions that we have. And yeah, it's another really, really important thing to think about is if you're going to purchase some personal protection, you have to make a commitment to yourself that you're going to learn to get really comfortable with it. So like that noise on the stun device, that made me jump for a very long time. And I still kind of close my eyes a little bit whenever I do it, you know. You want to use it. You want to make that noise so many times that you don't have a reaction. You don't want to have, you know, any fear on your part of using these tools. So you want to do a lot of muscle memory and then mind memory and rehearsal also, where you're thinking through various situations. And what would I do in that situation? What tool would I choose in that situation? That sort of thing. Because when we are in the stress of a bad moment, it's possible that we're not going to be able to think real clearly. And so we want our muscles and our brain to just take over because we've already practiced it. We've already thought it through.
I have so many questions for you, Kate. And I see that we are close to the end of our time. We've talked about being attacked out in the open. What about in our own home? What are the ways that we can help keep ourselves safe there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I definitely recommend having a home security system if you can. I recognize we can't all do that, but if you are able to do that, one of the more economical ones that I'm aware of is called Simply Safe. And it's a good home security system, and it's not overpriced, which a lot of them are. If a home security system is out of your reach at this point, I recommend getting, I happen to have one right here. This is a door jam alarm. So if you have, even if you have a home security system, but there's like one door in your house that you don't feel good about, maybe it's a weak door. So you would shove this under the door part, you shove it under the door jam and turn it on. And if that door gets moved, the alarm will go off. That's, I also like to carry those when I'm in hotels. It's just kind of an extra layer of security. A lot of single women like to have one on their master bedroom door. Just another like warning that you'll get if something is going wrong. And then the other thing to do in our homes is to stage our protection. So I have a pepper spray in my medicine cabinet in my bathroom. I have a stun device that lives in a kitchen drawer. And I have another stun device that lives in the like end table by my favorite place to sit in my home. They're within reach. I know where they are. I have a long stun wand that I keep by my front door. My family knows where they are and how to use these. And it's a matter, this is just a matter of like having things spaced in strategic places, remembering that they're there. And of course, again, doing the mind and muscle memory so that you can quickly get something in your hand. None of this is helpful if we can't get it in our hand quickly. But if you can get something quickly in your hand, odd things do happen. People walk into houses. You know, there's druggies that'll walk into a house and just go upstairs and make themselves at home. I mean, there's odd things that happen in our world. And so having this kind of protection and staging your home so that you know you can quickly reach a tool that could help you, is it brings a great peace of mind.
We had an incident in our gated community in Florida of a man who went through between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning trying to get into houses that were all pretty much occupied. I mean, some of the people in our development have seasonal homes and were not there, but this was in the wintertime when it was pretty much full occupancy. He slit the screen door of the homes and then unlocked, got his hand through the slit and unlocked the screen door. And then most of the homes had sliding doors into the house. Our doors were locked. Our alarm system was on. He slit the screen door. He got as far as the inside of the lanai or the screened-in porch, and he couldn't get into the house because the door was locked and the alarm was on. But three of the homes, he he did get in. And he was looking for purses where people had left their purses close to the sliding glass doors on inside the house. Somebody had a security camera that was over their screen door, which captured him. And he had on a t-shirt of a local event, and people recognized the t-shirt, and he got recognized, and he was sentenced and sent to prison.
Wow, and that is great. That brings up a really good point too about leaving our purses out, you know, where people can see in the windows. Don't do it.
Don't leave them anywhere near doors.
Right.
And that, you know, when I woke up that next morning, we didn't know that this had happened. There were police cars all over our street, which is not a common occurrence. They were going door to door trying to figure out which homes he had tried to break into. And I said to the policewoman who she did the dusting, which I've always read about, you know, dusting for fingerprints. She's dusting all around the framework by the lock and the sliding door. I said, is there anything that we could be doing differently? She said, no, you did the right thing. Your doors were locked and your alarm was on. But some of the people in the development don't use their security systems or they don't remember the code and they're useless. And in the cases where he got into the homes, they hadn't locked the doors going out into their porch areas.
It can feel very paranoid to always to turn on your alarm system, to always lock the doors. We can tell ourselves that, you know, I don't want to live in fear like this. I don't want to be paranoid. But the truth is that bad things do happen, and it's not paranoid to be prepared. That's not about living scared. That's actually about living with confidence and assurance because you have a plan and you've put caution into place. So, I really encourage locking the doors, even if you're home. When you're home, I mean, in the daytime, lock the doors. It doesn't hurt anything. It's a line between you and a criminal. We want those lines. We don't want them close up.
If you leave your car unlocked in your driveway and then you've got a garage door opener, all the guy has to do is get into your car, hit the button to open up your garage, walk into your garage, and if the door to your house is not locked, can go right into your house.
Right? And so it's hard to take it seriously sometimes because we are safe. And the mindset of that it won't happen to me, of course, plays into this too. But it does happen, and it could happen to you. And most of my clients, to be quite honest, are women that have either encountered a violent situation or somebody very close to them has. You don't want to wait for either of those. You want to be proactive. Take this into your own hands and make a plan.
And speaking of that, how can our listeners find out more about you, your services, and your products?
So my products are available at mydamselpro.net/KateLeach, and Kate is with a C. That's if you want to look at the products. I'm also active on Facebook, and I have a free group that I'd love to have any of the listeners join if they're interested in more tips. It's called Every Woman a Warrior. And that's my thing, is I want to bring out that inner warrior that I believe we all have inside of us and help her to make the choice to be prepared, not scared.
And would you repeat the name of your website again and your group?
Okay, so the website is mydamselpro.net/KateLeach, CateLeach. You can also find me on Facebook, Kate Leach, and my group is Every Woman a Warrior. If you'd like to have a personal consultation before you purchase, just, you know, friend me on Facebook and send me a message, and I can help you work through what would be best for you, because we're all unique, what we're comfortable with and what we need. So I'm more than happy to do personal consultations.
Wonderful. Kate, thank you. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us. I have a feeling that we could have talked for hours on this topic and just scratched the surface.
Absolutely. Pat, it's been so nice. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. And thank you to you who's been watching Legal Nurse Podcast on our YouTube channel or listening to us on the audio channels. You can have the opportunity to listen to our show by calling up your home smart device and saying, "Alexa, I want to hear Legal Nurse Podcast," and we come up on command. Please tell other legal nurse consultants about our show. We are now in our fifth year and bring you weekly interviews with people who can help build your legal nurse consulting business and skills. And in the case of Kate, protect you so that you have the opportunity to build your business and live the life that gives you peace of mind. Thanks so much. This is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast. I have with me today Jennifer Cunningham, who is a reputation repair coach. We just finished recording a podcast, and I know that you're going to want to hear what Jennifer has to say about the impact of incidents on reputations. And we connected this to defendants in medical malpractice and personal injury and product liability cases when their actions get attention, fairly or unfairly. Jennifer, what are some of the key topics that we covered in your podcast?
Main things are, you know, how people can find themselves in these situations and how it impacts their relationships, their health, and often their careers. We also talked about the role of social media and how information can spread very quickly to really have severe impacts many times on someone's reputation. Then we talked about some tips on how to get through these situations, how to overcome them and move through them. As well as just, we talked a little bit about disinformation and how that is such a huge issue right now in our society, and things to maybe mitigate or at least think about how to control that.
There were a lot of tips. I know that you'll want to hear Jennifer or watch her on our YouTube channel. She shared some right on target information that impacts you if you're in a situation where your reputation is affected, or on cases that you might be working on where this can be a potential problem. Be sure to select the Legal Nurse Podcast with Jennifer Cunningham to get her tips. And I will see you on the show.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.